This is 89.1 WEMU. David Fair with you on a Friday, and it's this time each week we catch up with 12th District Congressional Representative Debbie Dingell. She helps provide a bird's-eye view of what's happening in Washington and how those actions, or lack thereof, impact us here in Michigan, Southeast Michigan, and Washtenaw County. Thank you so much for the time today.
Good morning, David, and it is always good to be with you on TGIF.
TGIF, indeed. Since we last spoke, it seems as though leadership in the Senate and House are no closer to a relief and stimulus package. In fact, there are some who say we're further apart. And now President Trump is beginning to issue executive orders in place of congressional action. Let's start with the House perspective. What is Nancy Pelosi telling you and your colleagues that maybe we haven't been privy to yet?
If I were watching all of this, I would probably be pretty disgusted. The fact of the matter is that Nancy Pelosi put on the table this week with Steny Hoyer that Democrats would lower their offer of the bill that we passed in the HEROES bill by $1.3 trillion and asked the White House to compromise. And the White House is simply unwilling to compromise. I'm going to say it that point blank. They do not want to give aid to state and local government. And anybody who's talked to a city or a local level of government, they are desperate for help. They are worried about schools, the frontline workers, etc. And the president doesn't want to support the post office, which is a glue of this country to begin with. And during COVID, as people are relying it for delivery of medicine, for shopping online, for paying their bills, and a number of other things, we need to support the post office. And the president is definitively politicizing it over the issue of voting at home this November, which we all should want to do, vote at home safely. We can address the issue of fraud, prevent it from happening. He keeps, you know, doing these boogeymen out there. And the House has not gone home. We can return to Washington on 24 hours notice to vote on a bill, and it is the intent of Democrats to keep working to try to get something done.
So while the post office is going through its issues with the Trump administration, and we look at the executive orders the president is ordering, certainly to some it has populist appeal, a pause on payroll taxes, a little extra cash up front, but the longer-term ramifications could have dramatic consequences, an end to Social Security and Medicare funding. Will House Democrats be launching legal challenges to those executive orders?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything's being looked at and being put on the table. And I think that's one of the things, David, you just sort of, that was in there that people may not realize. But the delay in payroll taxes and other ideas that the president has would seriously undercut Social Security and Medicare. Today's the 85th anniversary of when Social Security became one of the glues of our country, something that seniors can count on so that they can have a safe and secure retirement. And the president is doing many things that are threatening to destabilize the lives of many Americans. Billionaires are okay, but my job is to watch out for the working men and women, those who are barely making, who are working 40, 60, 80 hours a week, but aren't even making $15 an hour. These are things we've got to worry about.
You mentioned that you're prepared to go back on 24 hours notice, as are your colleagues, to vote on any agreement that might come to pass. As we have moved through this process, you and I have had conversations, and you thought a deal would get done by the beginning of July. That came and went. You felt confident a deal could be reached by the end of July. Now we're approaching September and the final push before November elections. Might this impasse extend to Election Day or beyond?
So I'm out of the prediction game now, because I would never have thought that people could do this to people. I'm going out, David, now, more probably than I should, but I'm always masked up, keeping physical distance, washing my hands. But I've been to probably 20, you know, farmers markets and rallies or community gatherings, etc., in the last week or two. People are scared. I've had people in tears. I've had seniors calling me. They want us to do something, and I just don't know. You know, the Senate doesn't get out like a member of the House does all the time. They're not listening to people. If anybody has a heart and soul that's an elected leader and is representing the people they're supposed to be, I don't know how they can't hear this panic, this anxiety this worry, this despair of so many people. And we have a further complicating factor. We need to have a budget. We need to fund the government. The government will run out of money at the end of September. Would this president dare let the government run out of money again? Would we shut the government down 6 weeks before an election?
This is 89.1 WEMU, and our weekly conversation with 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell continues. As you mentioned, you hear from local elected leaders in the district, from healthcare workers, administrators, teachers, educators, and school officials. You are getting an earful about the need for that infusion of money and support from the federal government. All that we can say with certainty, and all I'm hearing from you today, is you don't have anything to tell them.
We're fighting for it, and I can promise you that. I would tell you to make your voices heard. You know where I am, but there are Republicans that are in this area. You can talk to them, even though it's passed the House bill, and urge them to be talking to the Republican leadership. But friends and family, you have in other states, you need to have people talk to your senators and say, we've got to get something done. And then, of course, I think President Trump still wants to win this state. I believe COVID, this is going to be a COVID election, and how COVID is handled is going to determine the outcome of it. And I think people need to, if they get asked questions by pollsters, if they're talking to local officials, both sides, tell them. They want to see it get done.
The impacts of the pandemic and the budget issues it has caused are myriad. And earlier this week, you held a virtual town hall meeting on affordable housing alongside Washtenaw County Board of Commissioner Jason Morgan and a number of notable local experts to discuss that issue. Now, housing insecurity was already big before COVID-19, and now it is obviously much worse. What were your takeaways on this community's ability to navigate the issues amid pandemic?
So I have one very strong message coming from that, that Judge Simpson, who handles the eviction court, to MSHDA, the Michigan's Housing Agency, to Washtenaw County officials. Washtenaw County is trying to have a handle on managing evictions and helping people who need rent support and mortgage support and helping landlords. If you have a problem, if you cannot make your mortgage or rent payment, there are people there to help you. There are monies available to help support you. The courts are trying to make sure it never comes to the courts. And there are agencies who have legal assistance available to help deal with this. We don't want it to impact your credit union. And so the worst thing someone can do is, if they have a problem, is be embarrassed or afraid to talk about it. They're in the same boat as a lot of other people, and there are a lot of people who know how to help you. You can go to my webpage. You can go to Jason Morgan's, the county's, the state's webpages. There are resources there to help you, and we really urge you, reach out. And the first place you can start is with your landlord or your banking institution, because they, too, know how to connect you to these people, and they want to work with you.
While we continue to struggle with COVID-19, budget, economy, social justice, policing reform, and the whole host of other issues, investments in our future are still being made. We do have to keep an eye moving forward. Yesterday, you joined Governor Gretchen Whitmer and others to announce an autonomous vehicle corridor along I-94 running from Ann Arbor to Detroit. Given the severity of our current situation, why, in your estimation, is it so vitally important to continue moving forward on these other potentially expensive projects?
Because the economy matters, and we cannot afford to get behind on innovation and technology. And I was so excited at yesterday's announcement, because it's been my vision of going from Detroit to Ann Arbor, where we combine the public-private partnerships, where government is supporting academia and companies working together to stay at the forefront of innovation and technology and be creating that new technology here, making sure those jobs stay here in Michigan. China hasn't stopped. China is our number one enemy. They want to take all of this production. They want to lead the world. And we're not going to let them do it. I'm not going to let them do it. And India wants to do this. And Western Europe wants us to do this. We are the birthplace of the automobile. We put the world on wheels. We are the home of mobility. We must stay the home of mobility. And we are going to make sure we lead the world. And you don't do that by by not keeping moving forward. So COVID has frightened us. COVID has us scared, but we can't stop because we're competing in a global marketplace, and China would love to see us stop. And I'm not going to let that happen.
Our time together is winding down, but I do want to pose one final question. This week we saw history made as Joe Biden selected Kamala Harris as his running mate, making her the first vice presidential candidate of color on a major party ticket. If 2018 was declared the year of the woman in elections, what do you hope 2020 is going to be remembered for?
I think that John Lewis, who we recently celebrated his life, had a dream of one America, one American family. I live for the day that we're going to be one America. We're going to judge each other on who we are, not what our religion is or the color of our skin or what our sex is. And I think that this incredible team of people, which is multi-generational and has many perspectives, can be a team of people that can help unite America.
Thank you so much for the time today, and I'll look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, David. Have a good week.
That is 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.